Seth, it's so good to be together, church family and friends visiting and family members visiting. And thank you for Jesus. We have this reminder once a year of how you came, the Son of God, and became a man, and how you are in heaven on the right hand of the Father, interceding in prayer for us as our high priest. And I pray that as we go through this section of Hebrews, you anoint Jerry to help us understand why that's significant. It seems like maybe a foreign idea to us. We don't understand what a priest is, but help us understand who you are through this title you carry. It's so important to our lives, practically, spiritually, in every kind of way. And so open up our hearts to understand these deeper things of the scriptures, Lord, for we don't want to be, as the Hebrew writer said earlier, just men and women living off spiritual milk. We want the meat. And so we're praying, bring the meat this morning, Lord, for your glory and our just edification, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Foggy out there. At least it was when I was coming. Didn't slow me down at all, though. Yeah. You know, there's words that Christianity uses from the scripture, and I think sometimes when we read the Bible, we gloss over certain things and certain passages because we just don't get it, or yeah, I kind of have an idea what that is, and we kind of just gloss over it. And as I was looking at Hebrews 7, it dawned on me, what is a priest? Where did that word, not just the word priest, come from, but the concept of priest? Anybody got the answer?
You gonna tell us?
I just often wonder where some of these things originate from, and why did they come about? What was the reason for a priest or priesthood? And, yeah, we'll talk about it. I believe, you know, simply it's because of the fall of man. Adam and Eve had perfect communion and were in harmony with God, were in relationship with God, could be in the presence of God, but sin occurred. And that separated them from the presence of God. And as this developed, God wanting to have continual fellowship with his creation, his mankind. And for the most part, man wanted relationship with God. There had to be a means by which this could be accomplished, because God is sinless and holy and pure and can't be in the presence of sin, neither can sin be in his presence. And so there had to be a representative from both sides, if you will, and that's basically what a priest is, or even the word intercession. That word intercessor, it is someone who's going between, representing man to God and God to man. And so this priesthood came about in which there were rituals, there were things that could be done that would temporarily, we'll see, cleanse someone so that they could stand in the presence of God on behalf of the people. And of course, we see this when Moses brought the law and church in the wilderness. And God instructed them on how to build a tabernacle for him. Temple. Build a tabernacle for him, a place where God could dwell with man. And in order to do that, they built the tabernacle, and there was one specific place, and Craig has gone over this with you, there was one specific place where the glory and the presence of God dwelt, and that was what was called the Holy of Holies. And only a priest, a high priest, could enter in. And he would enter in with the blood sacrifices that were taking place. And he would sprinkle himself. He would sprinkle all the God things in there. And he would be, his sins would be covered. Not taken away, but covered enough so that God could speak to him and he could be in God's presence. But it wasn't a lasting thing. This needed to be repeated yearly for a man to get into the very presence of God. And he did that on behalf of all the other people, because people can't get into the presence of God. You know that we, this morning, the only reason we could enter into God's presence is because we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. And that's really, you know, and that's the reason why. And of course, that's exactly what God wants, is for us to come into his presence and to dwell with him. And we do that through our high priest, Jesus. Jesus is referred to a lot of things in our Christian faith. You know, he's Lord, Savior and friend and comforter and all the other things that we refer to him, but very seldom do we refer to him as our high priest. And that's one of the most significant ministries that Jesus is involved with. So let's look at high priest, what it means. And I'll give you all the answers to everything. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is really going at this thing. He is really bringing Jesus to these Jewish Christians and to other Christians that are in their midst. But he's really bringing Jesus to them. The reality of Jesus, the work that Jesus did, the significance of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and being seated at the right hand of Father. He's bringing it all to them to get them stabilized, and so that they won't falter, they won't fall away, they won't, other things that we have discussed about the people in the people of Hebrews. In chapter 7, it says, for this Melchizedek, that's how I'm going to pronounce it. There's a couple different ways of pronouncing it. King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace, or Shalom. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment and law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers. though these are also descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received these tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Did you get all of that? That's quite a bit. You know, I want to say from the beginning that what the author is trying to establish is the superiority of Jesus' high priesthood. And he goes through this episode with Melchizedek. He tells them about Melchizedek as a king and a priest whom Abraham tithed to. And so he tithed to a greater than Abraham himself, who is considered the patriarch of people of God. There was no one above Abraham as far as, you know, men go, but this Melchizedek was superior. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham in the name of God, and Abraham in return had tithed to him. So what he's trying to get at is, again, the superiority of the high priest of Jesus Christ. There's no other priest higher than him. And it says that Melchizedek resembles the Son of God. He continues a priest forever. We'll get into that, I promise, in the second hour. We get into that part. Amen. Does any of that make sense so far? Amen. It's important when you do read the scriptures. This is probably a portion of scripture we would read through and kind of go, and then we'd read on. And we kind of heard about it. Maybe somebody preached on it one time or another. But, you know, there's just parts of the Bible that we kind of skim over because, you know, we just don't quite get it. There's a lot to this, and I won't be able to get it all out. But in Genesis is the first place that this Melchizedek was mentioned. In Genesis 14, verse 17, it says, after his return from the defeat of Kedalamor, this is talking about Abraham, as he went out and defeated the kings, and had rescued his son, help me. The dude that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Who? Lot. Thank you. Brain senior moment. But one of the kings, you know, was part of that episode. And Abraham went out and he fought against all these kings that were against and had taken captive Lot. And so it says after his return from the defeat of these kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is in the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So this is where the author of Hebrews is referring to. This is where he's getting his information in regards to Melchizedek. God Most High here is El Elyon, is a name of God. And it speaks about the supremacy or supremacy of God. He is above all. He it means the strongest of the strong and the highest of the high. Hinduism and pantheism of God, believe that God is a part of the universe, but God is not a part of the universe. He transcends the universe. He is above all. He is the most high God. In Colossians, it says about Jesus, who is our El Elyon, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things exist. So he is above all things. Melchizedek is blessing in the name of that God. So we see this concept of superiority, or, it's God is superior and Melchizedek's priesthood is superior over any other priesthood that's out there. And so the second place that Melchizedek is mentioned is in Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now that's talking about Jesus. There's only two places in the Old Testament that talk about Melchizedek. And one of them is in Psalm 110:4. Said, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what does he mean by order? The order of Melchizedek. Well, before, when Moses had brought the people out of Israel, and he gave Moses the law. He is gathering a people for himself. God is. And he places a calling on the Levitical, the tribe of Levi, and especially the sons or descendants of Aaron. And these are to be the priests for all of Israel. And so there's an order, there's an inheritance, there's a genealogy for a priest in the Levitical priest system. And he's saying in Psalm 110 that you are a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So the point being is that Melchizedek wasn't from the tribe of Levi. I mean, the tribe of Levi didn't even exist at this time when Melchizedek met Abraham. But he is not from the lineage of the Levites. He is not part of their genealogy. And so that's the order of Melchizedek. He was appointed directly by God himself. And he was a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews 7 is saying that Jesus is that also. That's one of the ways that he is like Melchizedek, is that he is he's not from the tribe of Levi. Actually, I think Mary was from the tribe of Judah. But he didn't, it's not the same priesthood. It's not a priesthood that is because it's flesh and blood and you're inheriting it from another man, and he's passing it on to you. It's a priesthood that God has given regardless of your inheritance, and regardless of your heritage. God has given the priesthood. We see in Hebrews 7, it says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Abraham tithed to him. He didn't tithe to anyone but a priest and a high priest. We see that he's superior to Abraham and to Aaron's Levitical priesthood. Without genealogy, no father or mother. Now that these things here that are mentioned, he is without father or mother or genealogy, is speaking about not having a father or mother genealogy from the legitimate priesthood lineage, which would be from Levi or Aaron's heritage. He's not from that. He's without father and mother that are connected to the priesthood. He didn't inherit his priesthood from the Levitical priesthood. He has no priestly genealogy. And then it goes on to say, has no beginning and no end of life. You figure that one out. And I'll go into the next thing. His but resembling the Son of God, he continues the priest forever. What I'm trying to say is, or what's been understood, is that his his priesthood, in one sense, didn't have a beginning and it didn't have an end. You're a priest forever, according to God. As far as theologians disagree on what it means for him to have no beginning of days, and or no, the end of life. I think what the author is trying to say is that this priesthood was eternal. Not necessarily Melchizedek, but the priesthood itself. And the type of priesthood that it was is eternal. And Jesus embraced that, and his priesthood was in the order of Melchizedek. I don't think that the author is using a literal case here where he's trying to say there was a man that he never had a beginning and he never had an ending to his life. What I believe he's saying is that his priesthood never had a beginning and it never had an ending, that he was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. If you have questions concerning that, ask Craig. I hate to say that it's not, I mean, many believe that this is a literal thing, that he just showed up. It was just came into existence, and that he's still in existence somewhere. We just don't know where. I don't think the author is trying to say that at all. I think he's focused on the priesthood of Melchizedek and is describing to us the type of priesthood, that it's eternal, it's forever, and that is Jesus. As he's resembling God, he continues a priesthood forever. So Melchizedek, Psalm 110:4, I knew I would stumble through this. Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus, this is a prophetic psalm, Jesus, as he lived and died and rose again, is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, in that he had no lineage from, you know, he didn't qualify because he was born within the Levitical or Levi tribe or the people of Aaron's descendants. He wasn't born within that. He had no lineage at all of priesthood. And that he's also in the order of Melchizedek, he's an eternal priesthood. And this is a part that really ministers to me, is that Jesus' priesthood is eternal. And sometimes I don't know if we really think about something that's eternal, something that's everlasting, something that's forever. We hear the terms a lot, but have you ever thought about it? A never-ending life. Who's for that? As long as it ain't like this one. But the idea of eternal, never-ending, always existing, forever and ever 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 and ever. And that's what Jesus' priesthood is. In Hebrews 7:23, it said, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That term, save to the uttermost, that's a neat saying, isn't it? Uttermost. Hey, what's going on, man? I don't know, but it's to the uttermost. You know, but it basically means completely. There is nothing lacking in our salvation in Jesus Christ. And it is eternal. It is complete. Amen. I don't know what that would be like, to be complete. No sin weighing us down. No guilt of sin. No result of sin. You know, all the past is gone. All the present is gone. Amen. It's complete. And it'll go on forever. And the reason it will go on forever is because Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the way in which we can be in the presence of God. We can't be there without Jesus. Amen. Remember, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We can't be in the presence of God without Jesus. But thank God, Jesus is there, always in the presence of God, making intercession for us. Now, the word intercession really just means to create a meeting and create a meeting place. And Jesus is the one that creates that meeting place between God and man. As we go to the Father through Jesus Christ, he's interceding. He's saying, yeah, come on in. Hang out with the Father as long as you want. I'm here interceding for you. You know, come on in. He always makes intercession. William L. Lane says, For a priest to be fully effective, he must have continual access to the presence of God. The exalted status of God's Son, our heavenly priest, assures us that the objectives of eternal priesthood will be completely realized. He's basically saying that it'll never falter. Jesus won't. Well, you can't get in today, guys. Things are a little shaky with me today. Is it permanent? He's always there on our behalf. In Hebrews 7:16, it says that he has become a priest on the basis of legal requirement or bodily descent. What he's talking about is not on the basis of the law that God had given Moses and the law for the Levites and Aaron's tribe as far as regards the priesthood. He doesn't come from that. And he doesn't come from bodily descent. He's not physically descended from any of those. That's not the basis of his priesthood. His priesthood, the basis for it is the power of an indestructible life. In other words, because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood is going to be forever. Amen. Amen. That's like being married to the same wife forever. You want it? No, maybe it's not. Forever. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, says verse 17. Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Again, I just emphasize that it's just eternal. It is just forever that he is there. Jesus, high priest, eternal, always in existence, not like the Levitical priesthood when the priest died would need to be replaced with another one. Jesus' priesthood is never ending. Again, Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. First Timothy 2:4-5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I read that one because I want us to understand that it was a man that needed to go between God and mankind. It was a man that needed to represent mankind to God. And Jesus became that man, sinless, perfect, complete, offered himself as the sacrifice. And as a man, but also the Son of God, he stands before God on our behalf. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But he became the high priest because he was the Son of God, or is the Son of God. We have access to the presence of God forever because of Jesus' priesthood. We could come boldly because of Jesus. And we are ourselves royal priesthood. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, but he calls the believer a royal priest, a royal priesthood. Now, the way that works is that through Jesus, who is our high priest, we have access to the Father all the time. Amen? Amen. You know, even when you've done the dumbest thing, you have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, he doesn't condemn. He doesn't, you know, he might convict you of it. But never let yourself be convinced that you can't go to God. Because Jesus intercedes for us and is always there. I just, yeah. We're royal priesthood in that through Jesus' high priesthood, we can act as go-betweens between men and God and man. Our intercessions in the name of Jesus, our high priest, create a meeting place for this. And that's in, especially in prayer. Prayer is one place where we can create this meeting place. And we represent to God the person that we're praying and crying out to. And because God has made us in, he has made us holy, he's made us accessible to him through Jesus Christ, our high priest, we can have this guy or gal that we're praying for encounter God himself. We create kind of a meeting place in our prayer life that is priestly. And that's one of the ways that we are a royal priesthood, in that we can, we act as go-betweens between God and man. But we don't do it in our own self. We do it because Jesus is there as our intercessor and our access to the Father. And we go in Jesus' name. He said, when you pray, pray in my name. And when we do that, we are praying, and in his high priesthood, he then is hearing our prayers, and he is meeting with, or will meet up with, the one that we're praying for. Amen. That happens in a lot of different scenarios, but our prayers are not wasted. They're not hitting a ceiling, and that's all the farther it goes. Our prayers are taken by Jesus himself and presented to the Father. He is our high priest. The overall point of this passage of Scripture, I believe, is the fact that we have forever access to the Father. Forever. There's that word again. Forever. Eternal. All the time. Always. You know, I'm going to be 40, I think, this next birthday. Actually, I'm going to be 70. But I think about how fast life goes. But then I think about eternity. Oh, time just isn't going to affect that with me. I'm an eternal being. I already have eternal life. There's just going to come a time where I'll pass from this body into the newness that God has prepared for me. But I will, I'm an eternal being. You are an eternal being living forever. That's pretty cool. But just think about that, that Jesus is eternal in his priesthood. It will never cease. It'll never cease. It will always be there. This access will never cease. It'll never need to be renewed. It will always be effective and for eternity. Jesus lives forever as our high priest. Amen? Amen. I apologize for botching up this. I thought I had a mindset together with Melchizedek's father and mother, but he didn't have one, so I didn't know how to interview. I'm just kidding. We just need to understand that I believe what the author was trying to do is just let you know that Jesus is superior. Melchizedek is superior to the Levitical priesthood, and Jesus is superior to Melchizedek as a high priest before God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ability to draw near and be in your presence. And we know just standing here today, just standing here right this moment, that you are interceding and that you are standing before the Father. And because of that, the Father sees us as holy and sinless and people he can fellowship with, and we can fellowship with you. So thank you, Lord, for that truth and that reality. And as we sing and close the service, we just fellowship with you in Jesus' name. Amen.